Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Rylan. I use they, them pronouns. I am a practitioner here. I also am part of the teen group. So after this prayer, the teens will be in the classroom if there's any of them here. My ancestors hail from, here's my list, Germany, Belgium, Jamaica, Chile, Cherokee Nation, France, England, Scotland, Wales, Ireland. As a practitioner here, we do offer prayer support. We have a prayer vessel in the back. We can also talk to you after service. Anyone wearing a stole like this is in service as a practitioner today. I believe Wendy is on duty with me today. At this moment, we're going to do an opening prayer, so please join me. There is only one power, one love, one bright, brilliant light. And that light, that love, that power is flowing through us now. It is through each and every one of us, moving us in this world, lifting us higher, opening our hearts in connection with spirit, with each other, and with the world. Through that connection and that knowing, I know that love is the true answer. Love is the pathway through everything. It shines through the light in all of the darkness. As the stars light up the sky, as the sun lights the day, love lights our lives and our connection to that one spirit. And I am grateful for this knowledge and this openness and this connection. And I release these words, and so it is.
Thank you. It's been a long time since I've gotten to say that. Well, it's great to be back. And one thing that I have been doing since I last saw you all, I went on the board of the Whatcom Dispute Resolution Center because they are an organization that builds peace in our community. And so the Sweet Goodbyes are doing a benefit concert here on May 15th from 7 to 8:30 to support the peace working through that organization, and you're invited to come if you'd like, because the Sweet Goodbyes are one of my favorite groups. How about you? So let me tell you a story. What do you think? This is a hard story, but it's a good way to start. It's called The Nightmare. No unhappiness ever seemed to touch the village of Wu, situated on the bank of the River Wei. The villagers of Wu were content to live their lives in harmony with whatever direction the Tao would take. They could have prosperity and health or famine and sickness and never lose their serenity because they each knew they were expressions of the Tao and forever at home in the Tao. One night, a young girl named Maya experienced a most horrible nightmare. In her dream, all the people of the village had been transformed into monsters. They still looked like her friends and family, but inside they were possessed by evil spirits. In her dream, she was all alone, the only person unaffected by the evil spirits. She could no longer trust anybody and had to be on her guard at every moment. It was a terrifying dream. This horrible dream was so vivid that when she awoke, She continued to believe that these terrible things were real. In her waking life, she began to lash out at her family and friends. She was convinced that they were evil inside and would try to harm her if they could. So she did whatever she could to protect herself. She began to steal valuables from them so that she would have the things she felt she needed to be safe. The villagers came to her and told her she must stop stealing. They tried to show her that she was safe and loved and did not need to fear. She fought them with viciousness and fury, leaving one older man severely wounded. Finally, they had to subdue her and put her under guard in a village elder's home. Each day, from the village, people would visit her, bringing food and gifts. Each day she would accept their gifts, but she remained suspicious and hostile. Each day they would talk to her of their love, and each day she would reject them in her fear. 3 years later, she still believed her dream was real and still remained under guard. Each day she was fed and cared for with loving kindness. One day, a visit to the village, saw how kindly she was being treated and said to the village leader in astonishment, "You are wasting valuable resources here on this woman. She's done harm to the village, yet you treat her with special kindness. She should be punished, beaten, and taught a lesson. She should not be rewarded for her crimes." "Punished," said the leader. "Do you punish your child for having a nightmare? She's dreaming. We care for her in the hopes that one day she will wake up." So for many of us, maybe not you, we feel like maybe we're in a nightmare. And it's not just here, it's like the whole world is struggling and feels a deep sense of disconnection from one another, from their values sometimes. And it's very much like this story, it's like a dream that we're all believing is real. And if we're not careful, one of the things that happens when we believe something deeply is that we begin to react in fear, not love, right? Because if the nightmare's real, then we have to start thinking about protecting our own. And we have to start thinking about, well, what if, and what would I do, and what do I need, and how can I get that? And I don't know if any of you have done that, but Canada's really close. And sometimes I've had people say to me, "Well, you know, Canada's really close." I said, "Yeah, well, do they want us? Don't you have to have money?" So this nightmare aspect can be global. But unfortunately, it's also personal, isn't it? Like, I don't know about you, but I've certainly walked through a nightmare or two in my life. You? Yeah, I won't ask you to raise hands. But when we're in times like that, it's hard to remember what to do and what not to do. And so I thought I'd talk about that, just in case any of you are traveling in nightmarish landscapes at the moment. Maybe it's a health concern or a loss of something or a difficulty in yourself. What do you do? Because the topic today is, do you want to change the world? Do it. And the only way that I've found to actually change the world is to change me. As trite as that may sound, what I've noticed is that when Wayne Dyer said it a long time ago, and he was quoting Max Planck, the famous Nobel Prize physicist, when he said, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change, right? You remember that? And I've always thought, okay, that's sweet, you know, that's nice. But it actually happens to be true. And in cases of nightmare situations, difficult situations, situations where things are really hard, there's a way to look into what's happening that makes the light burn brighter instead of things going dark. And so what I know about this is that first of all, we have to decide whether we believe that this is a spiritual realm. And some of you may be on the fence about that. I'm not. I'm real clear. I'm real clear that within all things, through all things, as all things, there is this vast energy. And the energy, you know, as simplistic as it sounds, is love, but not the gooey, squishy, romantic Valentine's Day love, but the powerful love that generates and creates all things. So it's a different type of love, and it is moving through everything, available through each of us, all of us, everywhere. It's available in everything that's created and doesn't leave its creation to go somewhere else. It's vast enough that it maintains its energy through us. But the thing about sacred humans is that we have to choose. We get to choose. Maybe that's a better way to say it. We get to choose how much of this energy we actually allow to flow through us, in us, and as us. And it's a choice, unfortunately, that we don't just make once. We make it every single day. We make it in easy times easier, as you might imagine. It's easy when I visit my grandchildren because I don't have to take care of them. I can look at them and go, oh my God, they're so adorable. And their mom is looking at me like, yeah, well, you just don't know. You know. So it's easy in the easy times, but the times when it becomes most important is in the nightmare times, difficult times, the times when everything seems to be cattywampus and off, and how could this possibly be happening to my beloved or to me or to this or that? How can that be? And then that's when we have to re-choose. We have to become intentional once again, because it's not easy in those times to remember that there is an energy available. And it does move, and it does create through us as we allow it, and it is love in action. And so the work spiritually for me has been and continues to be returning to that awareness over and over and over again, returning to my understanding that this, whatever you want to call it, is available, accessible, ready, willing, all-powerful, as long as I allow it. And so, you know, as I was preparing for the talk, I was thinking about, you know, what makes me available to that? Since it's always available, it's me that's moved away, right? Have you ever experienced that? Yeah. And so what makes me available to that is this. I understand that I get trapped, that culturally we actually all get trapped in habits of reactivity, that certain things are like ping, and all of a sudden I'm off on some judgmental, some way, way far away from the energy, in my own little place of anger or frustration or righteous indignation or you name it, all of those and more, sadness, depression, gloom, darkness. And so in order for me to work with the cultural habit and the personal habit of reactivity, I begin to work with myself to see the world differently, to really see the world in a different way. And I learned this not only through the Science of Mind teachings, which are all about your perception creates your reality, right? But I also learned it more intimately in my Buddhist practice, because in that practice, we're trained to begin to understand that actually there is no separation between anything, that there's no separate self, that I exist because there's rain and sunshine, and I exist because there's food that the rain and the sunshine made and the earth, and I exist because my parents got together, and I exist because. And when I begin to understand that my life is actually an expression of interbeing with everything, that I can't stand here speaking to you without all of you and everything, literally, not just sort of an imaginative thing, but actually, then I can begin to see the world as my brothers and sisters, as my supporters, as my ability to be in the world because of all that is and everything in it. This, of course, becomes difficult when you don't like someone and you inter-are with them and you don't want to be. It's like, no, I'm not inter-being with that person. Ew. But we are. And so then what begins to happen in me is I begin to understand that the people that are difficult for me, I'm sure you don't have anybody like this, but just in case it ever happens, this is what I've learned, is I stop looking at people as irritating, unfortunate specimens of humanity a long time ago, because I began to realize that everything that I was seeing was not only a result of their suffering, but mine. Have you ever noticed that the people that really bother you the most are doing something that you have tried really hard not to do for a long time, but would still really like to do sometimes? Have you ever noticed that? So as I began to consider that the people that were most difficult for me were difficult because of the things in me that I didn't like either, I could grant them some grace. Now, let's be clear. I still don't like them. But I love them. I love them. And it's different. Remember, I'm not talking romantic, gushy, sweet, you know, oh, I just love you so much. No. I'm talking about the energy of love holds me in a place where I can literally perceive the suffering that they're in and work with that and realize how sad that is to have that and how in my own self I may have some of that as well. Just thinking, you know, since I'm reacting, there might be something in me that is akin to that or really, really struggles with that. So I go back to something that I've taught you before if you were here when I was here, and I was sharing with the early service about this. I go back again and again to a story that Jack Kornfield told. And when I first heard it, I had never heard that story, and it was probably one of the most impactful stories I've ever heard, because it captures for me how to be in the hard times. And so it's the story of Cambodia. And Cambodia went through a very dark time. And many, many people were murdered. People because they wore glasses. People because they looked a certain way. people just because they were Buddhist, things like that. And a lot of people were captured and put into these huge internment camps. And the communists who were ruling the country at that point, you know, basically said, you may not practice your faith. And so there was a edict in all the camps, you may not chant, you may not do Buddhist practice, you may not do anything. And in one of these camps was a very old, very revered Buddhist monk. And he announced privately to people and said, you can tell people that on noon on a particular day, he was going to go to the center of the camp where there was a big flagpole, and he was going to sit down and he was going to begin to chant. And that if anyone wanted to join him, they could, but to be aware that probably they would be shot. And around the camp, the guards were there with their rifles. And noon came, and the old venerable came to the center of the camp and sat and began to chant. And the chant is what got me. I mean, the whole thing. But the chant was this. Hatred never ceases by hatred, but by love alone is healed. This is the ancient and immutable law. And because I'd never heard that before, I don't know how it hits you, but all of a sudden I realized I just had one of those moments of realization that that was absolutely true, completely true. Hatred never ceases by hatred. It never has. It never will. Love is the only thing that can heal it. And as I realized that, the story went on. And so the monk is sitting, you can imagine, very old guy, chanting, just chanting over and over this. Hatred never ceases by hatred, but by love alone is healed. This is the ancient and immutable law. And little by little, people came. They came and they sat. And they began to chant. And more people, and more people, and more people. And they're sitting quietly and they're just chanting. Hatred never ceases by hatred, but by love alone is healed. And the guards didn't know what to do. They'd been told to shoot, but they couldn't. They just couldn't. And you know, I put myself in the position of those guards, and I think to myself, what would I have done? Because if that story hit me far away, never having been in Cambodia, decades later, it must have hit them like a 2x4 with truth. And you can't shoot truth. I mean, you can't, but it'll still be true, right? So for me, in closing, you know, the change in perception, the ability to see beyond what seems to be the problem and to bring this energetic of powerful love into everything is what actually will heal pretty much anything. Certainly what's going on now. Hatred doesn't. Angst doesn't. Darkness doesn't. Depression doesn't. I've tried all those. It doesn't work. It's the energy of love and the willingness to shift perception, to not allow the cultural habit of reactivity to take us away from our true nature, which I truly believe is love. Truly. So I have all kinds of other stories I could tell you, and maybe someday I'll get to do that again. But right now, why don't you join me in this prayer for everyone and for me? and you. There is within every single sacred human, and within all that is, an undying, unalterable power and energy of love. And it moves in all things. It works through all things. It has set up this glorious earth of ours, created out of itself all that is, and it is resonant within you and within me and within all people. And so I turn to that energetic, that power of love now in myself, and I see it in you as well, and I call it forward for anyone listening who is traveling in a difficult time, who is struggling with situations that seem to be beyond control. I call upon that energy of love to flow in, through, and as us more powerfully than ever before, illuminating, lifting, opening doors of dialogue and peace, lifting people's minds and hearts into hope, well-being, joy, and a renewed trust and faith in neighbors and friends. And in my own life and in yours, I know this energy is moving, that this prayer is active from this point forward in you and in me. And I turn to it now, inviting it wholly into my heart and mind and into my ways of perceiving the world. And I'm so grateful to realize this truth and to live from it. And so it is.